Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman, Dana Smith, and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to our advocacy program for the persecuted church on Warn Radio. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us tonight. It is Wednesday, the 17th day of April, 2019. Passover begins on the eve of the 19th, and unleavened bread begins with Passover Friday evening, the 19th through the 26th of April. And the readings in the Word for Passover are found in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, Leviticus 23, verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, and 5 through 7. And the New Testament portion is Matthew 26, 17 through 19, Mark chapter 14, 12 through 16, and Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 13. Take time to read these biblically centered articles by the Watchman. Politics and the Writer's Complex, Trump's Fodder for Thought. 2020 is coming. Many like Alec Baldwin make money provoking people to laugh at President Trump. The contempt is amazing, and yet today 82% of Trump supporters would vote for him again. In addition, he has a rating of 53%. Also, The Lights of Mercy in a Darkened Age. Lights of mercy are to be ever bright. The light of mercy are revealed through the Son of God and His redemptive power. Then through those He has redeemed, as they become the lights of hope and the message of redemption to all that they come in contact with, in the last days of hedonism, evil, terrorism, and peril, the lights of mercy are to be bright, so that those who are to come will come to the Lord for redemption. And you can read those by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. And check out the front page of warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. And you can watch or listen to the shows on the warn-usa.com blog, and also from Spreaker on the Spreaker app. And this is a psalm by the Watchman, Dana G. Smith, which he wrote for this broadcast. Crying in the chamber alone, where no mortal may roam, 'tis there I shed my tears, and there I lost my fears. 'Twas at that moment, as I stood near the cross of Calvary, saw I God. The Lord of Lords is He, the one who set me free. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, was my key. Entering into the veil to which I became free, opening my eyes so that I could see, it was a lone sinner who stood, yes, me, and now I am free. Free. And tonight on our advocacy program, we are featuring stories from India, challenging religious conversion restrictions, Colombian rebels lay weapons down, river of death to river of life, Hong Kong, China, and the bell toller, 5 years after Chibok, Sudan, trouble for Christian freedom, those and more as we have time. And before I welcome in the watchman, we have this.
You're listening to WORN Radio on the WIPR WORN Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at WORN-USA.com and DanaGlennSmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, we're here again. Time does fly, does it not? And we did get some good news. We heard more out of Pakistan. And the Pakistani, I think it was Prime Minister, I forgot which one it was that said that. Let me look here. Yeah, it was the Prime Minister. Who had said that Asia Bibi is going to be released pretty soon.
Yeah, within a couple weeks. That's exciting.
Yeah, and the best thing to do, she is going to be going to Canada, and they wanted assurances that she wouldn't be doing a lot of movie shows and things, downgrading, you know, denigrating Pakistan and everything like that. So she is going to be, her husband is with her and been with her ever since she was released. So that was nice.
Yeah, I'm glad. That's comforting.
And of course, her kids are in Canada now, and I'm glad that they got the kids out. But Canada is offering her full asylum. And they said that they were going to do everything possible in order to assure her her freedoms and protect her. And they wanted to make sure that Pakistan would protect her as well. So she, you know, she still has to leave. She has to get to the airport. She has to, you know, make it out of there free. And, of course, with so many radicals around, that may be a problem. But we hope to see her free and safe and with her family soon.
Yes, that'll be wonderful. Thank God it's about time.
And another thing that's been hitting the news is European churches have been vandalized and trashed. Raymond Ibrahim on Gatestone covered a bit of this, but it's been all over the news. The church attacks and everything are hitting a lot of them, and nobody really knows that I know of, you know, what is going on. But, for instance, in one attack, vandals desecrated and smashed crosses and statues at the St. Helene Cathedral in Louvre, France.
That's horrible.
And they mangled the arms of a statue of a crucified Christ in a mocking manner. Well, you know, folks, I hate to break it to you, but the church is not the bricks and stones. And Christ, this is ludicrous. You know, you think you're going to hurt the everlasting God, the I Am, the Almighty, by ruining a statue? Do you know that it's against the law, the Torah, to make an image of God? And Christ is God. And see, the churches have been violating this for centuries. And, you know, the bottom line of it is, it's just ludicrous. You know, oh, wow, we're so scared. You're tearing up the churches. Well, guess what? The church is us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not Christ in the bricks and stones, the hope of glory. Christ in an idol, the hope of glory. No, that is anti-Torah. That is anathema. But, you know, there's a lot of believers that have been taught that, and they have been misled for centuries. It's about time they learned. Because I can guarantee you, in the Roman Empire, they weren't taking statues of Christ and mangling them with elephants. They were taking human bodies. When they were throwing people to the fire and burning them up, they weren't trying to find bricks and stones and idols and crosses with Christ on them to burn them. Only in the Muslim world and a lot of this modern era do we think that this is, you know, what it is, you know. Oh, it's horrible. Well, I don't like to see this going on any more than the other, but be real here. Wake up. Get a grip. The real, true church is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if they burn us in our temple, yet we shall survive, for the Lord said, not a hair of your head will perish. That's because he's going to give you a new body and new hair. How do you like that?
Well, I think that's great. I'm ready for a new body.
But see, this is what we get into. You know, see, they do this. This is, and we don't know who's doing it. But people do this to cause terror. Terror is of the devil. And we've overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love our lives not unto death. We stand up, and as Paul said, having done all to stand, we stand therefore, we don't whine. The best thing you can do is France, and throughout Europe, you shouldn't have let every one of these groups in. You should have thought twice before you let him, because there's no modern Western civilization that has been able to integrate Muslims into their society. Not one. And we don't know that this is Muslims. This could be white supremacists. This could be anybody. So we don't know who it is. But I got news for you. There are lots of Muslims coming to Christ today. They're finding the true and living God.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Now, another thing, of course, that's been in the news was 20 tornadoes sweeping through the U.S. But, you know, although this is really devastating, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of tornadoes moving through the Middle East before in years. I remember a number of years ago we had that. A lot of tornadoes. 50 to 100 tornadoes or something like that. It was years ago.
Yeah.
Several years ago when that happened. Of course, time goes by so fast.
I think this weather and stuff is ramping up. Tornadoes and the hurricanes and...
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think it is. I think this is the end of days.
And the snowstorms.
Yeah. Well, another thing that is really relevant to what we cover, and that is the news also, International Christian Concerns is one of the ones that reported on it. Egyptian churches receiving legal status. We've talked about this for a long, long time. And it was always one of the main things that many of the churches, they're required to have legal status in order to be a functional church. Well, it never got legal status. We see the same thing in Pakistan and India, the government requiring legal status and never given it. And in this case, we have these particular in Egypt, where that was the case and has been the case for a long time. They finally, there was a committee meeting with Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly, and 111 churches and church-affiliated buildings received legal license status. And that's good, because they had a problem. Now, see, Egypt, as well as Saudi Arabia, you know, they all have changed their tune on allowing Christian churches and things like that. So we'll see how this works. This would be really good if we could see more of this and have these governments control these radicals and tell them to wake up.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But at any rate, that's the quick news that we're hitting. One of the upfront stories we have comes out of Barnabas Aid. They reported on a 14-year-old girl, a Christian girl, who was kidnapped and sold to a Muslim man and forced to marry him. This is Pakistan. Now, see, the reason this is interesting because we've covered this many, many times. These young girls, as well as even women who were legally married, actually get kidnapped and are forced to marry someone else. I mean, we reported on that coming out of Pakistan and other places, and Pakistan is particularly bad. But see, we do see a struggle in Pakistan, especially with this case over Asiya Bibi. And now we see this 14-year-old Christian girl being handed back. These are good signs from Pakistan.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, we need to let them know. You know, when you do things like this, you know, that's great. That's the way to do it. You know, you can still have Islam. But you need to give these other groups their right of freedoms, you know. And I can tell you, China does not give any rights, and yet we do a ton of trade with China. And, you know, it's disgusting that China can get away with what they get away with, and we still suck up to them and buy stuff from them. But see, we have so many companies that depend on Chinese goods today, the economy would probably fall. But at any rate, this underage girl endured a forced conversion to Islam, which is par for the course. And I can tell you what they normally do. They tell the young girl that you either become a Muslim or we're going to kill your parents. That they threaten them, and so they go ahead. Now, I don't know if they did it in this case, but we've seen that time and time again in all these years. And, you know, the thing of it is, when you're dealing with the rights of women in Islam, it's not very good. It's pretty bad.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it's tragic.
So she's going to be returned, this 14-year-old Christian girl. She was snatched. And
that's almost unbelievable, you know. That's exciting. I'm glad.
Yeah. She was 2 years under the legal age, and he took her anyway and married her, and it was against the law. He probably went to an imam somewhere that went ahead and performed it.
Oh, and I'm sure.
Now, according to a report by a Pakistani non-governmental organization in 2015, it's estimated, 700 Christian and 300 Hindu girls and young women in Pakistan suffer similar abuse of being kidnapped.
Now that's a lot.
Yeah, that's 1,000 women.
Yeah.
Every year. I would address this.
Well, they sure need to.
Yeah, they need to start throwing some of these guys in jail.
They do.
If you're going to kidnap a young woman, see, what they end up doing is returning the woman, and they don't say anything to the Muslim.
No, that's wrong.
No, they had to lock his butt up. But see, many of them don't do it because you have so many radical imams over there that, you know, they riot on the streets. And so, you know, it's pathetic. Islam is like that, though. They even do it in Europe. You know, they ride a lot and do things when they don't get their way.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and if anybody says anything about, you know, Muhammad or Islam, they riot and cause trouble. Now, people stomp all over the name of Jesus Christ, blaspheme and everything else, and the Christian church is pathetic. Nobody rises to do anything.
Yeah, so they get away with that.
Yeah. So at any rate, there are a lot of problems when it comes to a lot of these things. And then, of course, we were dealing with Asiya Bibi in Pakistan. And then this with the young girl being kidnapped. And they had 700 Christian girls and 300 Hindu girls that are kidnapped every year in Pakistan. That was a Pakistani non-governmental report in 2014. So Pakistan is one of those countries that we watch a lot. There's always information. There's always stuff going on. And they still have people in prison in Pakistan for blasphemy and facing the death penalty. There was one case not too long ago reported on, and he was actually acquitted. But it continues to be a problem. Another big area that we cover a lot is India. And of course, it's really kind of interesting that there's any Hindus in Pakistan at all, because Pakistan's Islam, Muslims, and India's Hindus all went to war. They're avowed enemies, but and both of those countries are nuclear. So there was a time, probably about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they thought they were going to come to blows. Christian activists have petitioned India's Supreme Court, and they're challenging guidelines because of another high court that wants to restrict religious freedoms. According to UCAN, the Supreme Court has postponed its hearing on the matter, and it passed a general guideline restricting religious conversions within the state. According to these guidelines, of course, this is a political ploy. An individual must inform state government officials of their desire to change religions prior to doing so. Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's none of your business.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And this, of course, is not going to be unusual, because I'm going to tell you, this is something that the United Nations has also been considering for years and years. The Catholic Church has been preparing for it. Many of them are wanting to hook it up into a world religion where all faiths are okay, but it's in the one world religion, and of course there's one God, and there's no specific savior, there's no... you're not going to be able to tell anybody about anything. And this is even what prompted Russia as well to crack down on all the Christians and everything else, saying that you can't even talk about your religion unless it's okayed by the government, which is another affront. There's no way. That's just a bunch of bull.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
And I was surprised to see there was a survey recently, and I think, if I can recall correctly, 84% of Russians supported a Stalinist Russia.
84%?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think it was astounding.
That is.
Yeah. So, India trying to do this, they're actually trying to stop that conversion factor, and it's prompted because of the Hindus. Folks, the thing of it is this, is that in India and across the Middle East, we see a lot of people getting saved. And many cases, the local Christians, they're praying and they're doing things, but they're persecuted. And they can only do so much. And we've reported time and time again miracles, signs, and wonders, the Lord appearing. And Hindus and Muslims, they find out who the true God is. They turn around and start serving Him. A lot of this has nothing to do with anything other than the Lord's going to save who He's going to save.
Amen.
And He isn't bound by your phony laws, and He's going to cross them, you know. I mean, if He finds a heart that is serving a Hindu god or an idol, He looks on the heart, and He said, I'm the true God. That thing ain't no true God, and He appears. We've seen this time and time again, and especially in the Muslim areas, and we've reported on these miracles. So there's a lot of stuff happening in a lot of places. It may seem like in America and the West things are going to hell in a handbasket, that faith seems to be thrown down and a few other things, but the bottom line of it is God is moving as never before, and we are seeing it and reporting on it. So India, and it's good to see in India these Christian activists standing up to stop this thing, because this is what they need to do. You know, India, as well as Pakistan, guarantees the rights of people to practice their faith. Both of them do. And we see this time and time again, that in spite of what their constitution says, Christians are persecuted.
Yes. That's wrong.
It is wrong. So, both up front tonight, Pakistan number one, India. And this one here is a Colombian rebel And we're going, Tower and I are going to cover this. She has another one that she's going to be covering. But, you know, we haven't had much coming out of the South America. You know it, Tower?
Oh, no, we haven't. So it's kind of surprising that this is.
And, of course, this has to do with a rebel guerrilla leader in Colombia. He opted for freedom in Christ, and it landed him in jail. He was 24 years old, and he had been fighting, you know, all of his life for, you know, and in South America, there are more insurgent groups you can shake a stick at. And almost a fourth of his life has been committed to fighting, you know. And he stumbled upon an open-air meeting, you know, where a missionary was addressing the crowd. You know, if you've got a missionary, you got a preacher, and they're preaching. You know, it's by the preaching of the gospel, the speaking of the Word of God, that people get saved. I mean, this guy showed up, and, you know, the next thing he knew, he got saved.
It wasn't an accident that he showed up there.
I know. It's really funny because Paul says it this way, through the foolishness of preaching. You know, it may sound foolish, you know, but that's the way God chose. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And the native missionary, of course, spoke, you know, the Spanish that this guy could understand. And so by the time he was done, this young man put his faith in Christ's death and resurrection and asked for forgiveness. He began attending worship services with the native missionaries' congregation. I mean, you know, let's see, who is this? This is ChristianAid.org. Happened with some of their people. But they said that it's amazing the change that God made in him, the ministry leader said. He abandoned that illegal criminal group, exchanging his weapons and arms for the Bible. Oh, that's the kind of stories
yeah.
that you want to hear, you know. I mean, you know, if all of them coming from South America were like that.
Oh, I know, that's amazing.
And he shared, his name is Roberto, he shared his dramatic testimony. And he, of course, this is what you do when you come to the Lord, you know. You get out, you know, I used to do this, and that. And,
yeah, it's like a 360.
Yeah, he turns around. He is currently in prison. His wife and mother continue to congregate in their church, and they are showing the fruit of the extraordinary change that God worked in them.
Yeah, thank God.
And of course, this also really moved the local people there, the tribal people, and they do call them tribal people, but you know, you have tribal people in just about every, you know, you have them in Pakistan, you have them in India, you have them in Afghanistan. And these are people that have a lot of customs, and they could be pagan customs, they can be Muslims, they can be any number of things. You know, when they see miracles and signs and wonders and people changing like that, this really, really does affect them.
It's amazing.
It is.
The Lord is amazing.
Yeah. This is one of those good stories, and it reminds me of Nikki Cruz and, you know, David Wilkerson.
Right.
On the streets of New York when he was trying to talk to Nikki, and Nikki said, "I'm going to cut you up, preacher." And David Wilkerson told him, "Well, every piece will tell you that I love you." And so Nikki did become a Christian. He became an evangelist. He's still alive. He's an old, getting up there now.
He's probably about close to 80.
Yeah, and last I hear, I did see something not too long ago, and he was actually still preach and hold in meetings.
That's good.
But him and a number of his people got saved, and they were dyed in the wool on the street Puerto Rican gangs.
In New York City.
So, you know, God specializes in that, and we see God converting the enemies of Christ around the world. It just, you know, this is what God does. You don't like it, take it up with him. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
It's great. You know, so we're going to pass laws and stop you Christians from converting the Hindus and all this other stuff. Well, the Christians, they're just, most of them, because of the persecution, can't say a lot. And yet they still get in trouble. But, you know, it's their God that they serve is the one that's moving the mountains for them.
That's right.
You know, and that's what happens. And so these Christians see these people come to the Lord and they know they didn't do it. You know, and so they get excited. And then you know, the church is excited and people that were their enemies are coming over to join them, just like Paul. I'll never forget that. Paul was, when he was meeting with Peter and some of the others, the only thing that Paul had heard that they were saying that he who was against us is now for us and joining us. And that's what Paul was, you know. I mean, he turned around and joined them. He was one of them, but yet he persecuted them pretty bad. So at any rate, we do have another one handy. Are you ready for yours?
From the river of death to the river of life.
Okay.
This is about Rabindra and Padma. Of course, their names have been changed. Excuse me. They were devout Hindus. They lived with their daughter in northern India. And they regularly performed the Hindu ritual, praying and worshiping the vast array of deities in their home and local temples. And one day their daughter decided she was going to marry a Muslim boy. And so she left home, married him. The parents tried to persuade her to come home. And she asked them, the daughter asked them to convert to Islam. And of course they wouldn't. And because of the shame of the marriage among their fellow Hindus, Padma and Rabindra were shamed, shunned, and hated, of course. And the priests forbade them to enter any of the temples to pray to their beloved and feared idols, because they didn't want the couple creating opportunities for other young boys and girls to leave the faith. And of course, Rabindra and Padma were devastated, and even their close neighbors kept distance from them. And in desperation, 2 weeks ago, they decided to drown themselves in the great river Ganges. And according to Hindu belief, that was not considered suicide, but as giving their lives into the hand of the goddess Ganga. And the Ganges River is considered sacred and personified as the goddess Ganga. And so they believe that dying in the Ganges River and leaving a dead body there means a direct journey to the highest heavenly abode. And they knew that because there were so many bodies floating in the polluted waters that nobody would ever search for them. So they tied their hands together and jumped into the contaminated river. And the next morning their bodies landed ashore many miles downstream, and Pastor Praveen from Mideast, along with two other believers, happened to be out on a morning stroll, and they spied the bodies. And they were sure they were dead, but they still approached, noticing that they were male and female. They seen slight movement, so they immediately pressed down on their abdomens, releasing the water, and both became conscious, but were extremely weak. Excuse me. And so the pastor and the friends took him to their ALG church. And these two had never, ever in their lives met even one Christian. And what they'd heard and believed was all that had converted from the Hindu were of the untouchable class. And so when they discovered their rescuers were Christians, all they wanted to do was get away, but they were so weak they couldn't. And every last bit of goodness had vanished from their lives. Both began to cry because that's what they believed. And the pastor and a few others attempted to touch and coerce, and comfort them. And they screamed out for him to stop. And they wouldn't even take water from the pastor's wife. And the woman, the Hindu woman, wore a pendant around her neck bearing an image of the Lord Shiva. And the two held on to the idol and called out to Shiva to save them. By this time, other believers had joined in with this group, and they began praying for the people, praying for Padma and Rabinder. And they kept praying that they would come to know the Lord. And Pastor Praveen read aloud Psalm 115, David's beautiful ode to the greatness of God and his and the utter impotence of idols. And as he brought in the gospel to explain the reading, the Holy Spirit began to move. And the Hindu couple glanced around fearfully, wondering what on earth the Christians were up to. And then Pastor Praveen read Revelations 1:17-18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Suddenly, an electric shock passed through the couple's hands, and the idol shattered, and the pieces flew everywhere. "That is the true word," a mighty voice thundered. "I am your creator and savior. I am neither a man nor an idol. I brought you here for your salvation." And everyone in the room heard it. And the couple began to weep. And this time, feeling burdened with sin, they confessed their sins before the Lord Jesus and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And now Rabinder and Padma are living with the pastor and his family. And they have the joy that they've never known. And they're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So please continue to, or please pray for them. And pray that their daughter and son-in-law will come to know and accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And I believe they will. I really do. I believe the daughter's going to come to the Lord.
Well, I do too. And that story, that's the one out of Mideast Bible.
That's a good story.
And so you can, Mideast Bible, I think it's .org.
Well, it's Bibles for
yeah,
the number
Bibles,
four.
That's right. Bibles for the
Mideast. Mideast.com.
Yeah. Which is a good good live thing.
They have a great ministry going on.
And next, you know, we have something out of China. And, of course, this is really has to do with Hong Kong. And I remember the big shindig that went on when the UK brought all of its royalty and they got everybody together in the UK, in Hong Kong, and had this big shindig. They had the Chinese government over there and they handed Hong Kong back to China.
Yeah.
I knew it was just a matter of time before Hong Kong would lose its rights. And according to a story out of International Christian Concern, a lot of this comes from China Aid and a lot of these others that are, there are people. China Aid, Bob Fu is one of the biggest information over there, but there's others. But Hong Kong is really close to losing its autonomy. And of course, when the UK handed it over, there was an agreement that the Chinese governmental thing, and the way China was, they were going to cooperate with Hong Kong and allow them to do their own thing there, and in other words, be free and be autonomous. But of course, Hong Kong's democracy is now reverting to basic Chinese rule and Chinese law. And of course, as you know now, Chinese law is now cracking down on Christianity in their own country. And of course, almost all the regulations that were in place in Hong Kong are now either been violated by China or have been reduced to nothing. And you basically have a group of people that run Hong Kong according to what China wants it run. And so the people themselves have no freedom. And there was a thing organized by several people, including some Christians, called Occupy Central with Love and Peace, a civil disobedience campaign that began in the spring of this year in March. And so protesters came in, and the joining of student protesters ended up with a 79-day-long umbrella movement. And so the problem of it is Beijing, if you remember the protests in China, remember that years ago, that one lone protester standing in front of the tank?
Yeah, and got run over by the steamroller or whatever?
No, the guy stopped him.
Oh, I don't remember that one, I guess.
Yeah, well, that was in Tiananmen Square. That was during the protests in Tiananmen Square. And, of course, a lot of the students...
Well, that's what I thought somebody, they rolled them over.
No, no, not that one, because the tank stopped. But, you know, the bottom line of it is China did clean out Tiananmen Square, and they threw a lot of the guys in prison, so there's no way. So at any rate, you know, for Hong Kong now, they're trying to peaceably protest to bring Hong Kong back to where it should be. China, of course, is not going to cooperate. It'd be nice if they would.
But, yes, it would.
But China right now is cracking down on its own people, and I do, you know, I do pray that China will be brought down, that they will not continue this. But, you know, these are the things that in the world that we have going on. And I've tried to tell people, including Christians that went over to China, that she is not a friend.
Mm-mm.
And of course they all come back, oh yeah, you know, speaking glowingly. Yeah, right.
It's still Red China. It's always been Red China.
Yeah, it has. So at any rate, remember some of these places. You know, we've talked about Asia Bibi in Pakistan. You know, this is one on Hong Kong. We were talking about India and the change in the laws there. You know, these are a lot of places where a lot of Christians are at. And the Christians are persecuted and facing tough times. And you need to remember your brothers and sisters. And you also need to financially help those organizations that are on the ground and others that are helping them in order to help alleviate the suffering of the brethren in Christ. And I know that a lot of these, you can donate to Bibles for the Mideast, you can donate to International Christian Concern, Christian Aid, and a lot of others. You know, be sure to take a look at that. And we do have another one. Do you have that? This is after the Chibok girls.
Yeah.
This is another story that Tower and I have been following for years.
Oh, this is, my heart goes out to this mother. She says it's been a rough journey for me. There is a Hausa proverb that says fresh wounds are always very painful. And any time I speak about Rukatu, that's her daughter, I'm not sure how to say the name, Rifkatu. I feel so much pain in my heart. And she was one of the girls that was kidnapped in April of 2014. It's been 5 years ago. She says April 14th, 2014 was the start of an 1,825-day-old nightmare she has yet to wake up from, she says. Her life has changed forever. And she was one of the 230 girls that was kidnapped from Chibok. And most of the state secondary schools in Nigeria, in the Borno state, have been shut down for fear of attacks by the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram. And that's located in primarily northern Nigeria. And Chibok schools had opened its doors to almost 3,000 girls, most of them Christians. And a day after that, in the middle of the night, Boko Haram stormed the school, driving off with the 230 girls in the backs of their truck, and the school went up in flames. And here's a timeline of what a list of the escapees and releases in the last 5 years. During and after the attack, 47 girls escaped. On May 18th, 2016, Nigerian soldiers discovered a 19-year-old with her four-month-old baby and her husband in the Sambisa Forest. On November 5th, 2016, soldiers find another young girl who had escaped with her 10-month-old baby. On October 13th, 2016, Boko Haram released 21 girls. And on May 6, 2017, another 82 girls were released. And on January 5, 2018, one more girl was rescued, marking the last time Chibok girls have been found or released to date. So that's been over a year since they've heard anything. And no one knows how many of the girls are still alive. There's 112 of them still to be freed. And this woman's daughter, Yana's daughter, Rifkatu, is among the 112. And she says she will never give up hope or stop praying for daughter's return. And she says it's a heavy burden to carry. Rafka is missed for her extraordinary character. This is what she had to say about her daughter. She was never bothered if her sisters, she had an older and a younger sister, she was never bothered if they didn't help with the housework. She always woke up early and cleaned the house and prepared breakfast before we all got up. While most girls usually got into makeup and fashion, she never paid attention to those things. And none of the young girls in my community go to church as often as Rafka did. She, Yana's family attends an EYN Brethren, but Rafka chose to attend a different church. She loved the prayer life there, and because of the way she conducted herself, an older woman called her sister, which is unusual. And she says, when Rifkatu was kidnapped, laughter ceased in my house. Everybody was filled with pain, most especially me, because I gave birth to her. She says, adding that her younger daughter is even more traumatized than she is. They were very close. They wore the same clothes, the same shoes, even tied their headscarves the same way. I have never seen people who loved each other as much as they do. And she says, when her daughter was kidnapped, she felt so much pity for her younger daughter. And she sent the younger daughter away to school because they were afraid they were going to lose her because of all the trauma she was going through. And so they said she, Yana works to exercise self-comfort. In everything that happens in life, you must be patient. You can't change what has happened. We have tried to exercise patience, waiting to see what God would do for us. And these young women, they've seen hell together. And the ones that have been released, they're now living at and attending a private American university in Adamawa State. And compared to other Boko Haram returnees who usually spend months in horrible conditions following their freedom, these girls are lavished with care. And the horror they've endured place them in a very unique position that requires unique response. They have a dedicated principal, a dedicated psychologist, and a dedicated pastor. And they've seen hell together. Their psychologist says their testimony speaks of a period of hunger, slavery, rape, lashing and battle injuries, shrapnel lodged under the skin, even a part of one girl's leg amputated. They saw people, including many children, die. You know, that's so horrible, Dana, that their youth was robbed.
Well, it was.
And they've gone through more and seen more than anybody that age should.
Well, unfortunately, we see that thing around the world. We saw it with ISIS going through the Middle East. It just, this is what Islam does. You know, when they're on the prowl like this. You know, Boko Haram has yet to be broken in Nigeria. And the others, you know, you can take Kenya, Nigeria, a lot of the African nations. You know, a lot of these kinds of groups continue to function forever. You know, they're always a threat. They never do get rid of them. There's too many places for them to hide. It's too hard to get them. And it is a real, real gut-wrenching problem.
Oh, it is. I feel so sorry for the mother and the families, all of them.
Yeah. And that particular story came out of Open Doors USA. And, of course, there are a lot of these particular ministries around the world that are working to try to alleviate the pain. And really, you know, as much as we might be able to do, the Lord has to heal the pain.
That's right. Yeah. And only He can.
Yeah. What these girls went through, nobody should have to go through.
No, absolutely not.
But on another note, CBN ran a story about Sudan's Islamic dictator who persecuted Christians. For many, many years, the Lord put on my heart about Sudan, beginning back in the 90s. I've been watching the country for a lot of years, and it's always been a mess. It has always been the scene of trouble. Just every kind of outrage you could think of went on there. Well, this is Sudan's military really ousted the anti-Christian dictator, President Omar al-Bashir. And they took charge of the country. And, of course, the move came after tens of thousands of protesters rallied for nearly 4 months against his rule. And they tried to break up the demonstrators. They killed about 22 of them, but they couldn't. Under his reign, Christians and Muslims have endured the daily scourge of a strict Islamic Sharia law, leading to the arrest of numerous pastors, the closure of multiple churches. And we've been covering a lot of them, a number of them, that comes into the news. But the Sudan is not going to, you know, the trouble is not going to end here. Because Sudan is a country that has faced famine before. They've had, you know, they've tried to do North and South Sudan. They've tried to get this thing to where there would be peace. Peace eludes these people. It's just one of those things that, you know, the thing of it is, and I've said this time and time again, you know, the human being that God created has so much potential for good.
That's right.
But all too often, they surpass in doing the opposite. Ultimate evil. The most horrible things you could think of, humans perpetrate on one another. And you wonder if we are the higher species. And you know, biblically, we are. We're supposed to have dominion. But that dominion only comes with acknowledging the true living God. And today, through Christ, you know, we are headed towards that fullness which God intended. But in the world today, it's just unconscionable what people can do. There is no conscience. These people have been trained many times. A lot of these people in these armies and stuff that are doing this and these rulers, these are all people that have been taught total wrong, and they're following just absolute atrocious things. And I always shake my head. How can people, you know, I always use the term, look yourself in the mirror. Well, see, as Americans, we look in the mirrors a lot, you know, to see, make sure your face looks right and all the rest of the stuff. People, you know, we are a people that like to look at ourselves in the mirror. But, you know, that's a saying that reflects the soul of people, you know, the common purpose of who you are in your makeup. Why are you doing this? If you are a higher species and God created you, why do you treat other humans like that?
Yeah.
Because God didn't create you for that. But that's what we do. And I'll tell you, I followed, and I've said this a lot, that ISIS, 2014, 2015, when they were at their height, and I was reporting every day, and a lot of our stories made the top 10 in Twitter at the time. And, I mean, it was gut-wrenching. You know, it just...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how can you do that? You know, it just... You know, it just... How do you expect a God... You know, that tells you to go do those things. You know, what do you think he's going to treat you like if he expects you to do that to others?
Yeah.
Whereas the Christian God is love. And I even, in this latest article, I do touch on some of these things in this recent article. You know, the Christian God is a God of love. But we hear this baloney that comes out of the fodder mill of unbelief and liberalism, you know, that he's a jealous God, he's this and he's that. And even Obama has mocked, you know, our faith. You know, the bottom line of it is that one of these days he's going to be back and he's going to put a stop to everything. Because we're not going to stop it. You know, if we could stop it, we would have already.
That's right.
But we can't. So our hope is the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Well, at any rate, we're about done, so we're going to get out of here. Yeah, we're getting to the end. We've covered a lot of important articles. Don't forget to check out our websites at danaglensmith.com. warren-usa.com, and you'll find on the front of our websites the Spreaker app that you can listen to. You can also go to the individual posts, which have both the high def video and also the audio, and you can download it from there. Our websites have always had the full posts on them. But also near the Spreaker app, you'll find all the other links to where we're else. We're also on iHeart, TuneIn, iTunes, and many others. So there's no reason you can't find us. And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. And please pray for your brethren around the world. God bless you. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.
Go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America.
Dad, I'm tired of the swings. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At The Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.